Wrestling.
It is pro wrestling talk without the PG filter. This is Brain Stew Wrestling. It's Wednesday night, October 5th, 2016 in the year of our Lord. My name is Hammy. Joining me in studio is Michael Hipster Punchy Falcone.
Yes.
And you are rocking a very nice Shining Wizard shirt.
Yes,
shout out to those guys.
Shout out to my buddy Kevin and co for...
Come back on the show.
Yeah.
Kevin, you. Yeah, come back here. Like I said, this is Brain Stew Wrestling, pro wrestling talk without the PG filter. We are live every Wednesday night from 10 to 11 p.m. Eastern on BrainStewRadio.com. If you're listening live or watching live, thank you very much for joining us again. If you're listening on the audio podcast or watching the video podcast, thank you as always for downloading. We really appreciate the support. You can follow us on Twitter at BSR Wrestling and follow Brain Stew Radio, the network, on Twitter as well.
That's right.
So let's get right into it. Our top story, which I can't believe I'm saying this again, Mike, for the third week in a row, our top story is TNA.
Yeah, who would have thought after the depths that Dixie Carter brought it into that our top story would be related to TNA.
For the third week in a row, we are opening the show talking major TNA news because this is... we are reporting this as rumored, but it is heavily rumored throughout the wrestling industry that WWE has indeed purchased the video libraries to TNA. Billy Corgan is now
the majority owner of what TNA is, but what will soon be rebranded with another name.
And Dixie Carter is now completely 100% out.
I'll be honest, everybody wins in that scenario. Here's how I'm going to break it down.
Again, this is all rumor right now. We can only say, I am not believing this is all happening until I see a real press statement from WWE or TNA or Impact Wrestling or Pop Entertainment, whatever. I'm not going to believe this as fact until I see a press release. So for now, this is a rumor, but the rumor mill, this is from what you can read on the internet. I mean, everyone from every wrestling journalism site you can think of, Jim Ross himself on his podcast saying he has very reliable information saying that it is an all but done deal. You have wrestlers even talking about it now.
Yeah.
And when everyone else is talking about it and TNA wrestlers are saying, no, 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 not happening, not happening. I'm choosing to believe here on this show, Brain Stew Wrestling, that this is a done deal.
Yeah.
I'm choosing to believe the rumor, but again, it is all a rumor. We do not know if this is real or not.
The people, like the TNA people, are probably saying that because they're not supposed to publicly say yes, it's happening until there's an announcement made.
There's an announcement from WWE or TNA themselves.
So here's the thing. For those who... why I'm saying it's a win-win. So you get WWE. They get the tape library. That stuff they can add to documentaries on Sting, AJ Styles, or even Samoa Joe, Bobby Roode.
Let's stay right there for a second, because imagine if TNA released an AJ Styles documentary, it wouldn't sell a dime. You get that on the WWE Network and WWE marketing behind it, it'll sell like hotcakes.
And then, hey, they can even bring Dixie Carter in to talk about the time what led to AJ Styles leaving TNA. Like, AJ Styles...
Oh, that's going to be a bitter pill to swallow.
Oh, yeah. At AJ Styles at this point, I mean, he's worth them making a documentary about, let's be honest.
Even as a wrestling fan, not as so much a WWE fan, I mean, there are WWE fans who haven't even heard of AJ Styles before his arrival.
Yeah.
And they may have heard of him at best. They haven't seen him before. Longtime wrestling fans will surely want to watch this documentary and know the ins and outs of how TNA operates. Or if this rumor is to be true, Mike, how they used to operate.
Yep. So you get that. I mean, obviously you get to watch TNA episodes on WWE Network once they start putting them on there.
Which is huge.
Especially in the early to mid-late 2000s.
Because when, I mean, we a lot of wrestling fans everywhere like to crap on TNA, but truth be told, as much as we have crapped on TNA's product, there was a time where TNA was far better than anything WWE was ever producing.
There was a time where, from a pure wrestling standpoint, they were the best show on TV.
And that's including being better than Ring of Honor.
All right, I don't know about that. But as far as like what was considered the major companies,
I'll go ahead and make that statement then, because
I won't.
I'll make brash statements
here
on this program.
You know why I won't say that? Because while during that time for TNA, that was when Ring of Honor had people like Claudio Castagnoli, who is now known as Cesaro, Tyler Black, who's now known as Seth Rollins,
Kevin Steen,
who's now known as Kevin Owens, El Generico, who's now known as Sami Zayn. In that time frame that I'm mentioning, Punk was part of the company. He was one of the few who didn't leave Ring of Honor to go to TNA, even though he did a couple matches there. Bryan Danielson, who's now known as Daniel Bryan.
But just imagine this, Mike. You can now, if this is, again, if this is all just a rumor, but just imagine if this is true for a second. This scenario is, for once, in this cutthroat business known as professional wrestling, this is one of the very rare moments where a business deal, everyone wins.
Yeah. This isn't a Vince McMahon hostile corporate takeover. They only wanted the tape library. I think that's all they wanted.
This is not the NWO taking over. No. This is not Sirius taking over XM.
This isn't WWE taking
over WCW.
No.
This is a mutual benefit for everyone involved. WWE gets the TNA library. They get the video rights to AJ Styles, Sting, all of these other fine TNA talent. You could watch Impact Wrestling on the WWE Network, which I feel sorry for the person who has to encode that.
Just skip the Aces and H chapters.
Yeah, well, and Billy Corgan gets his dream of running his own wrestling promotion. And from what we've heard him say, Mike, he has an enormous amount of potential to really rebrand TNA. He has come out and said that he wants to rebrand TNA from the ground up, reboot it, refresh it, get rid of any remnants of the Dixie Carter era, and really make it work and really make it great. Because there has been a cloud of misery over TNA. It was either down, really, really down, or hey, this isn't so bad. There was maybe one or two years of TNA where they were really on fire, and there has been this depressing, dark cloud surrounding TNA, and I think Billy Corgan can finally get rid of that cloud and make TNA great.
No matter who was running it, though, I think the company that's currently known as TNA that I'll eventually rebrand, it's like addition by subtraction by getting Dixie completely out of there, no matter who was replacing her, and also just by getting rid of the name. Like, yeah, it's the brand they had for a long time, but Dixie Carter, Hulk Hogan, and Eric Bischoff damaged that. Well, no, Vince Russo, not Bischoff. Damaged that brand almost irreparably.
It's amazing because wrestling fans all over, when we think of TNA, we don't think of extraordinary talents. We don't think of great X Division matches. We don't think of Sting's the end of Sting's prime to his later years of his career. He spent a lot of years here, and not to mention, we don't think of the prime of AJ Styles' career. We think of Vince Russo, Eric Bischoff, Hulk Hogan. We think of these guys pulling a WCW again. And the damage is just irreversible. You just can't recover from this. So I hope, I'm hoping here that Billy Corgan can do something with TNA.
What I can't wait for is to go to the network and watch matches that involve any combination of AJ Styles, Kurt Angle, and Samoa Joe. Some of the best matches.
I'm an idiot. I completely forgot Kurt Angle.
Yeah, Kurt Angle's there. Well, you know, like some of the matches he had there. Like, again, especially with AJ Styles, I think the one good match that I saw during the Aces and Eights era of TNA was AJ Styles versus Kurt Angle, which I still think AJ should have won. But, you know, the fact that that is going to be there, available on the network, is fantastic.
something must have happened, because last week it was all but confirmed that TNA just had no money to put on their Bound for Glory pay-per-view.
Yeah, they somehow
now we
were
know
able to.
That not only did Bound for Glory go on the air, and it actually wasn't that bad, guys. You should really watch it. It wasn't that bad.
I mean,
it wasn't bad overall. There were some bad moments for sure, and there are some great moments. It could have been a whole lot worse. I'll just say that. With the way that everything unfolded.
It could have been.
And TNA already has taped the next 4 or 5 weeks of Impact shows, so they have at least earned a 4 to 5 week grace period to see what's going to happen with this now. So now, TNA Impact is going to be on the air at least for the next month. We had a pay-per-view. They must have made a little bit of money there to survive for a couple more weeks. If this deal goes through, if WWE bought the library, who knows what's going to happen with this?
And I will point out, though, with Bound for Glory, it was okay. I mean, like,
it wasn't bad. It was okay.
It wasn't as good as it should have been. Like, the women's match was disappointing. Lashley versus Ethan EC3, they had big ideas for it, but Lashley sucks. There was only so much Ethan Carter could have done. I mean, you could have figured Sandow was getting the initial push. I mean, Moose had a decent match against Mike Bennett. Two former Ring of Honor alumni right there. It was okay. It wasn't a great... I mean, the thing with TNA is a lot of their main talent is not there right now. Like, they lost a lot of their great talent.
What I cannot believe I'm saying this. In 2016, the Hardys are one of the most exciting things to watch in wrestling again.
Yeah.
It hasn't been like this in a very long time, but Matt and Jeff Hardy are the thing to watch in TNA.
Okay,
their match.
Let's be honest.
Defeating Decay during the Great War for the TNA World Tag Team Championships. Think of it, guys. Matt and Jeff Hardy are the TNA Tag Team Champions. Matt Hardy, a former TNA World Champion. The Broken Hardy gimmick, this is now an evolution of the original Broken Matt Hardy gimmick. Jeff Hardy's now joining the picture, and they put on a really good match. I'm looking at the timer here. It's 22 and a half minutes this match was, and it was great. It was an excellent match. I was thoroughly entertained wholeheartedly for this, and I applaud Matt and Jeff Hardy for... There's no better way to say it, Mike. They are carrying TNA on their shoulders right now. Those two are the only reason why anyone outside of longtime TNA fans are talking about TNA.
Again, there's that, but also, like I said, EC3 is another noteworthy person from that organization who I think, like, if WWE kind of missed the boat on, the American Wolves. I mean, the Hardys, from, like, a storyline perspective...
From a creative standpoint,
like
they are the best gimmick in pro wrestling today.
Well, right.
I'm saying it.
They're one of the best gimmicks in wrestling. The same way that a really bad horror movie is amazing because it's really bad.
I'll agree to that. But
here's the problem.
You're trying to compare the Hardys to Halloween H2O.
They're not that bad.
The
Hardys are like a trauma movie. You know they're not good, but you enjoy it anyway.
No, but see, I will completely disagree with you on this. I thought Broken Matt Hardy was an absolute train wreck and a bust.
So did I initially.
At first.
But you know what?
It grew on me so much.
He committed.
And I have never been more entertained
but here's
from
the thing,
watching
though.
This than I am now.
It's not like Broken Matt Hardy became any better.
No, he just caught on.
Yeah, he just committed himself completely.
I feel bad for EC3. I mean, I don't think he'll ever see a WWE ring or even an NXT ring. But if anyone deserves a shot at WWE on the TNA roster right now, it's EC3.
It might happen. I mean, I know you say the things he said in an event, but let's be honest, it was a promo.
Again, if WWE can mend fences with Bruno Sammartino and the Ultimate Warrior, I think EC3 can make a return to WWE.
Here's like you mentioned his promo being a reason why they might not, but it was a worked promo. It wasn't like anything like him saying anything scandalous. And I mean, here's the thing. There's a lot that they have going for them. They just need that rebranding. Like, I'm not going to say Bound for Glory was amazing. It wasn't.
I'm not saying it was amazing. I'm saying it was okay.
Yeah. I mean, but I like that Sandow's there. Cody's kind of going there as a freelancer. I don't think they have as good of a core as they used to have, but, like, the right direction, they can kind of start to rebuild from the rubble that Dixie left there.
Dixie Carter was Judgment Day from the Terminators. Yeah. Dixie Carter was Skynet, and the world was TNA.
I could see that.
And Billy Corgan is John Connor.
Come with me if you want to live.
Yes! Come with Billy Corgan if you want to live! Even though that's Kyle Reese, but that doesn't matter.
Yeah,
the point is,
doesn't matter.
I thought Bound for Glory was all right. Mike might disagree.
I think the Broken Hearties
are stellar right now. They're easily one of the best things in wrestling.
I'd rather Matt go to WWE, not with Jeff. Fuck Jeff Hardy. That's my opinion. I'm not a big Jeff Hardy fan.
I'm not a big fan of him either because he's just too damaged right now. You can't take him back.
Okay, what I'm going to say is going to probably be a controversial statement. I've always thought Jeff Hardy was overrated.
Really?
Yes. Jeff Hardy is a glorified stuntman. That's what he is.
Well, couldn't you say the same thing for any high flyer then?
No. No, you can't.
I'm playing devil's advocate here.
I know what you're doing, but no. Like, Jeff Hardy was not that good of a high flyer. He did crazy stunts. That's what he did. That's what got him a name. Like, he did the crazy jumps off the ladders or, you know. But, like, if you look at him and compare him to a Rey Mysterio Jr. in his prime, or even examples now, like a Grand Metalik or a Kalisto, or a Neville, or any one of the plethora of high flyers that have gone through the TNA doors, or the WWE, he's shit compared to all of them.
Well, then, couldn't you make that same, using your logic here, wouldn't Mick Foley be that same thing too?
No, because you know what, Mick Foley at least had the promo work. Mick Foley
I'm talking about in the ring, though.
Mick Foley had other things that got him over.
Yes, his ability to take abuse and still come back.
Again, though, like, look at him. Any character he played, the ring psychology that Mick Foley had. Mick Foley was amazing at it. Jeff Hardy brings one thing to the table. Mick Foley at least had the ring psychology that aided that. Because Mick Foley, like, if he was just being a stuntman and did that without any kind of personality, like Jeff Hardy doesn't have a personality, Mick Foley would not have gotten anywhere. He wouldn't have even been signed by WWF to be Mankind, let alone be at the aspect where he is. But at least Mick Foley has a personality and a charm to him. Jeff Hardy's just kind of like resting on the laurels of doing stupid jumps off things. Matt Hardy is the more talented one with the personality and the in-ring ability. And Jeff Hardy's just been the one to feud with the better wrestlers.
Fair enough. All right. We are going to take a break. When we come back, we have Raw and SmackDown the recap. Plus, we got a pay-per-view on Sunday, Mike. WWE No Mercy. We have our predictions and our thoughts about this card when we come back. This is Brainstew Wrestling. Don't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Are you a musician? Are you a singer-songwriter? Are you someone that needs help audio editing? Look no further than Brainstew Media. Based out of Northern New Jersey, Brainstew Media is your one-stop shop for all of your audio needs. Whether you're looking to record your first demo, your next album, or your next concert, Brainstew Media provides the best service and prices you will find.
Check out our rates, studio, and portfolio by going to brainstewmedia.com today.
Who doesn't like to be naked? Sure, we all do. But the police usually frown upon public nudity. Well, now you can stay out of jail and look good doing so with a t-shirt from Skunk Duck Design. From sports to politics to the wide world of nerdcraft, there's a shirt for you at Skunk Duck. They even have shirts for you 420 followers. Skunk Duck shirts come in both a regular and women's cut, and with sizes from extra small to 5XL, there's a shirt for everyone. Oh, did I mention they have hoodies too? Because they totally have hoodies. Go to teespring.com/stores/skunkduckdesign to get the shirt that's right for you. That's teespring.com/stores/skunkduckdesign. New shirts are being added all the time, so follow Skunk Duck on social media at facebook.com/skunkduckdesign for all the latest updates. Skunk Duck Design, the best ducking designs on the web.
Do you like pro wrestling that is real, in your face, and not congested with cheesy promos or two-minute matches? Check out Pro Wrestling Magic. Independent wrestling has never looked better than Pro Wrestling Magic. Don't rely on superstars for your need of wrestling. Check out real pro wrestling from Pro Wrestling Magic. Check out their upcoming shows, schedules, roster, and announcements by going to their website, WrestlingIsMagic.com.
The fame. Yeah. New Metallica. You know, a lot of people are crapping on this. I like it. It's better than St. Anger and Load. And Reload.
Reload of shit.
Yes.
Load of shit.
I'm not complaining. I like it. All right.
It's not as good as the first song from the new album, though.
No. No. Hardwire is much better. All right. So Monday Night Raw, it was, I would say Raw this week was a meh show with an incredible main event.
Yeah.
An incredible main event, one hilarious segment.
Yeah.
And the rest was, that's about it.
Oh, I would agree on that one. It was like... And again, we've been saying this now for a while, of the shows, SmackDown's the better show.
It stumbled a few weeks for a while. Like, both SmackDown and Raw were stumbling for a few weeks. But, man, SmackDown, the build-up to their feuds for this No Mercy pay-per-view have been outstanding. And in 2 hours, it's been delivering on all counts, SmackDown. So, yep. We got to talk about the Beast Show now, in my opinion. I'm going to go ahead and say it. Raw is now the Beast Show as far as an overall wrestling show.
I mean, yes, but as far as what's promoted, Raw is still the A show in WWE.
Yes, Raw still has the talent. Raw still has the wider roster and more viewers. But I say SmackDown is the better wrestling show. It feels like a classic, old-school type of feel, and I'm loving SmackDown. But let's focus on Raw real quick, and let's talk about that main event. Where Sasha Banks defeated Charlotte in one of the most amazing women's championship matches I have ever seen.
Now, let's point out one thing, too. There was a nice touch before the match where, like, Sasha and Bayley were talking, then Dana Brooke kind of was a bitch to Bayley, and Bayley just took her out. Like, that made it so that we were getting a match between Charlotte and Sasha Banks where there was going to be no fuckery from anybody else in the match.
No outside interference. No minions coming to the ring and helping out. You had two amazing women just beat the holy hell out of one another. Yeah. And Sasha Banks, your new Raw Women's Champion, a two-time Women's Championship victory for Sasha Banks.
Now, I wonder if, like, they had Charlotte win at Clash of Champions so that when they do the Hell in a Cell match against each other, which it's rumored it'll actually be in the Hell in a Cell cage.
That'll be historic. I think this will be the very first time women are featured in the cell, Hell in a Cell match.
I mean, they won't do some of the... I'm sure they won't make them do some of the bumps that are in those matches.
Still, the fact that...
they're in it.
I mean, Hell in a Cell matches are the ultimate closure of rivalry matches.
You're about to see the best spot Charlotte's ever done in a match.
Yeah, this I'm glad WWE kept this highlight
on the video,
YouTube, because like this entire exchange right here,
this move from Charlotte impressed me. It's the one move she's done where I was legitimately impressed.
Charlotte! Oh my God! Good grief!
Someone tell this woman not to do that anymore. Jesus Christ. I mean, regardless of what you feel about Charlotte, no one can deny that she has amazing in-ring chemistry with anyone she works.
Well, not anyone. I mean, like, it's basically like Sasha, Becky, and Bayley, and some of the other better women, like Natalia, for example. But, like, again, Charlotte's not someone who can get a good match out of a shitty wrestler. And there's the tap, and Sasha's your new women's champion. Sasha Banks can get a good match out of just about anybody.
Let's hear how this sounded.
Turns it right back over to the bank statement again. Great counter by Sasha. Charlotte's got nowhere to go. Sasha's the champion. Sasha's the champion.
Huge ovation from that Raw crowd.
The two times a women's championship match headline Raw, the challenger won.
That's right. That's right. The last time this happened, Trish Stratus challenged Lita for the women's title.
And the second I knew it was main eventing, I knew Sasha was winning.
Oh, yeah.
And then the second Dana Brooke was taken out of the equation, it cemented my prediction that Sasha was winning.
Well deserved. By far.
Did she, like, change her hair pink, by the way, for the breast cancer awareness thing? Because it looks lighter than it usually is.
It looks a little less purple than it normally does.
Well, again, nice gesture if she did. But yeah, Sasha's your new women's champion.
Charlotte giving it the respect of exiting the ring.
But no, here's the thing. But like, what annoyed me about it is they focused a lot on Charlotte. I mean, it's like, it's mine. It's like having a meltdown. No, like, focus on Sasha and her moment. Like, it's almost like when they cut back, it was like Sasha's celebration was in the background to Charlotte having a breakdown because she lost the title. That was the only complaint I had.
Is Charlotte favored too much by the writers? Is Charlotte favored too much by management?
I guess they're trying to add something, and I think the reason that she retained at Clash of Champions, I think for the Hell in a Cell rematch, they want to kind of push the angle that Charlotte never loses a title match on pay-per-view. Like, I think she's like won 12 title matches on pay-per-views. So I think they're trying to push that narrative on that one.
Either way, if they make history and become the first women's Hell in a Cell match, I mean, that just says wow. That is a huge wow factor for the rivalry between Charlotte and Sasha. That shows the trust that management has with these two ladies to keep the rivalry going. And if it's for the women's title, I mean, I'm sold already. If they could have another match like they did on Raw this past Monday inside Hell in a Cell, that to me is a main event match at a pay-per-view.
Those two are always a money match. So like I I'm not a huge fan of Charlotte, but I will pay attention whenever her and Sasha have a match.
I pay attention to when either of these two women are on my screen.
Like, again, like I said, I think Charlotte's a beneficiary of the people she's been able to wrestle with, but she's not, I don't think she's bad. I find it weird that she's the one they're kind of pushing as the leader of the women's division, because there's better on Raw, not just open, but on Raw, there's better as far as in-ring goes, and Sasha's by far one of them.
The women's division on Raw, I think, is far superior to than the women's division on SmackDown.
Until Asuka's called up,
Where does she go?
I don't know, but until she's called up, Sasha is by far the best on the main roster. And even when Asuka's called up, it might be kind of like a 1A, 1B with Sasha.
I find it kind of amazing, Mike, that here we are talking of not only the women's division and the women's wrestling, but where the NXT women's division, we're debating on where their call-ups will fit best.
Yeah.
It's now, amazing to think that even 2 years ago, we would never have pictured this.
2 years ago, that division was a footnote, which shows the work that they've done, especially Stephanie. Now, Hammy, have you seen Ember Moon in NXT?
Yes.
Have you seen her finisher?
It's quite amazing.
For those who don't know, she kind of goes in the top rope, does kind of a flippy maneuver into a stunner to the opponent.
It's one of the most amazing things you'll see.
Like, they've got a since the Four Horsewomen were all called up, they've still got a very good core of female wrestlers. There's Asuka, who's the champion. There's Peyton Royce, Billy Kay, Ember Moon. They've signed somebody recently that's also got a very good shimmer background. So the division's in good hands right now, though. It's in very good hands.
We'll end on this. If Charlotte and Sasha are facing each other inside Hell in a Cell for that women's title, should it be main event?
I think it should. I mean, I think they should alternate which title headlines, so that the women can headline pay-per-views too, but so Kevin Owens also gets the headline as Universal Champion. I think both deserve their opportunities to headline pay-per-views.
Correct me if I'm wrong on this, but has a women's title match ever main evented a pay-per-view?
Never.
It never has.
Never has.
In WWE.
A women's match in general has never headlined a pay-per-view.
I could have swore there was one time, but I'm pretty sure there never has been.
Never.
Not only can this make history as the first women's match to main event a pay-per-view, but inside Hell in a Cell as well, you have a perfect opportunity to make history. And if Charlotte and Sasha are going to deliver us a match even half as good as what they did on Raw, I'm sold. That's your main event. It should be. And Sasha should win this feud because Charlotte's going to be fine. She's one of the best heels on the entire roster. She can make a feud with anybody work.
Yeah. Now, the best non-match segment.
Yeah, the other really good highlight from Monday Night Raw this past Monday was Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho, my favorite tag team. I know they're not even a real tag team.
Along with The New Day.
I feel kind of sad that Enzo and Cass aren't in this as much in the picture as they used to be, because Enzo and Cass at one point were the hottest thing on Raw.
They're still very popular though. They were the ones.
They're still very popular.
They had them do the Susan G. Komen promo during Raw.
But Jericho and Owens are wrestling's odd couple right now.
Just drinking the gift of Jericho.
Enzo and Cass. It made me realize that Team Chris and Kevin are the best tag team in the WWE.
There's no question about it. Team Kevin and Chris are amazing.
Yeah, exactly. So I think we should challenge the New Day.
Challenge the New Day for the Raw Tag Team Championship.
How great would it be if Kevin Owens had two titles at the same time?
Imagine Kevin Owens as a double champion.
Yeah, they won't do it, but
and the WWE Universal Champion at the same time.
I mean, that's been done already with the heavyweight title.
It sounds great, but it sounds like a lot of work, man. I've got a lot on my plate. I'm the WWE Universal Champion. We'd have to beat New Day first, and then again for the titles.
I know. I mean, come on. It's not like I'm asking you for an opportunity at your championship.
Oh. That's planting some seeds for the future.
The seeds have been planted for this feud.
Kevin and Chris, Raw Tag Team Champions. Let's do it. Let's go after New Day.
I love how Owens quickly changed his mind as well.
Who has the best friendship in the WWE?
That thing is
The New Day, baby.
All right, here we go. My favorite segment of this.
Oh yeah, Kofi, you think so? Huh? You're questioning our friendship, you know what? You just made the list!
There we go. Kofi, no, not a Y. Chris!
I love how Woods is laughing throughout the whole time, yeah. too, thinking, oh, he can't possibly make the list.
Yep.
Well,
we hear your challenge, and quite frankly, a challenge of that weight warrants a champion's huddle. And Kevin, I guess you can get in, but Christopher, oh no.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Because champion's huddle.
No, no. Oh, really? I'm not allowed in your little huddle?
No, sir.
Really?
No.
You know what? Big E, you just made the list.
Big E's.
They're supposed to be heels, and they're getting laughs from everybody.
Because it's funny. Like, it's a funny set. Like, the list is probably one of the best things to come out of this run of Jericho.
This entire recent run by Jericho
has been
on point. And you see, as soon as Jericho says, you just made the list, Owens is like, yeah, you see what you did now? You made the list.
Woods is laughing now.
Woods is laughing.
Oh, Woods.
I missed that part of it. Woods is, like, Kevin Owens telling him Woods is laughing.
Woods is laughing.
Oh, Woods is laughing? Really, Woods? Oh, yeah, you're laughing? You know what? You know what's going to happen?
I love how Woods sells this.
Oh, you know what's happening to you right now? Huh? You know what's going to happen?
No.
Woods?
No.
You just made the list.
Woods sells it.
You guys know what we want. Now, if you're not going to give it to us, how about this? Just get out of here and let the truly most entertaining team in WWE do their thing. Yeah, you know what? Because, yeah, you guys are good friends, right? You've done it all together.
Wow.
You won the tag team titles together. Good job. You held on to them for over 400 days. Good job.
Good job.
Together.
Golf clap.
You've compromised the health and safety of children all over the world by feeding them questionable cereal. Good job.
Too much sugar.
And what
you
was
see
about
Kofi
in
Woods' face.
7 months.
About 7 months ago, you all jumped the shark together.
Kevin, you know for a fact that we do not swim.
No, we don't. Yeah.
That leads me to a question, though. Has New Day jumped the shark? I still say no. I'm still thoroughly entertained by it.
Yeah, they're still like...
Oh, good. I'm glad we can actually agree on this point.
Everyone knows that.
We're not Simone Manuel. No.
And second, look at yourself. When was the last time you jumped over anything?
I love their over-enthusiasm when they say something.
Yeah, what? Hey, that's good. That was good. Put Woods on the list. Put him on again. Again, second time. You're in the twice, Woods. Good job.
Hey, listen. You two fools want to come out here and talk about throwing hands with the New Day? Boys, you want a match? You got it!
All right.
That was such a good segment.
And unfortunately, that's where the excitement and the good parts of Monday Night Raw end, because the rest of the show was meh.
Nah.
I mean, you had Roman Reigns and Rusev agree to fight inside Hell in a Cell, which... could be exciting, could work, but I'm over Roman Reigns and Rusev. I'm just over this.
Yeah, it's just stop it. No one cares at this point.
So let's switch to
the better
Tuesday,
show.
Yes, let's switch to the real A show here, and that's Tuesday Night SmackDown, where the main event of No Mercy is setting up to be an unbelievable contest between AJ Styles, Dean Ambrose, and John Cena.
It's been a very well-developed feud. All three guys have been doing their best work some of their best work promo-wise, match-wise. And I like the fact that the way they're playing it, all three guys hate each other. Like, there's things Ambrose resents about Cena. There's things they resent about AJ. And just, like, it just... no one's playing favorites with anybody in this feud. They just all... I like when Cena came in to talk. First, AJ cuts him off, and then Ambrose cuts him off, and they both run down Cena.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned Ambrose, because Ambrose cut the promo of the year, probably.
His best promo since the split of the Shield, probably.
Stop! Stop, brother. Anybody who's a threat to you, you undercut them. You cut their legs out from underneath them. You stab them in the back. You've been trying to do that to me since day one. And you're never going to be able to. You know why? Mr. Hustle. Because you can't outwork me. You think you work harder than me? Because on your day off, you fly in a private jet to some awards show. I'm in this ring every night. Blood, sweat, and tears in wars. Mr. Loyalty, the poster boy for loyalty to the WWE Universe, these fans, to this business. Check my resume. 0 sick days. 0 days on the injured list. 0 days off, period. More matches than anybody in this company last year and the year before that. I guess you got no respect for that, Mr. Respect. You got no respect for me. I know that. You have 0 respect for me because I've never been one of these guys who came in here and kissed your ass and came to you looking for advice and played your little game. I've never played by your rules. Not now. I'm not going to start. And so I guess if being like fake, plastic, suck ass behind the scenes is what it takes to become a bona fide superstar in your eyes, you can have it. I'll be over here. Have fun being the guy who plays John Cena on TV.
And again, even
my God.
Like, I think they're finally letting Ambrose let loose on with promos.
Yes! I was about to say this.
They're finally letting him do his
thing.
The
last time we saw Ambrose cut promos like this and be this guy on camera was when he was in CZW.
Yeah.
Pre-Shield.
Yeah. Even like CZW style era promos. You know what? Notice they've been letting him do his own thing with the promos since the Austin podcast, since Austin called him out.
You think since he was called out by Austin that they're now saying, okay.
I think since he was called
take
out.
Take the ball.
And since his reasoning was he's playing in somebody else's sandbox, I think they're like, all right, well, you want to show us how you can do?
You want to show us what you can do, Dean? Go for it.
And I hope if AJ is able, if they let AJ retain, I think Ambrose and Cena should do a singles feud for a bit.
I would love that. I would love to see, because Cena, we know, can cut a promo.
Yep.
We know Cena, with the right person, can have a 5-star match.
Yep.
And we know that Ambrose can give Cena a great match.
Yep.
But this leads me to a question, Mike. I know we have our No Mercy predictions.
All right.
But I want to talk about a very possible looming scenario here. John Cena can walk out of No Mercy this Sunday as a 16-time world champion. There is that possibility that this can happen.
And I think if that does happen, AJ's winning the title back really quick. Because that's not the important one will be getting the 17th
reign. Getting 17 and breaking the record. I wholeheartedly agree. Mm-hmm. But if let's just say hypothetically here, John Cena ties Ric Flair's record and even breaks the record. Is John Cena the greatest of all time? Is he on the definitive top 10 best ever? Where does John Cena get placed on your list, Mike, if he breaks Ric Flair's title run?
I've got two things about that. Like, I've got two differing mindsets that I'm not sure which one I want to go with. So there's the, yes, he deserves a spot in the top 10. He'll accomplish something no one's ever accomplished. I mean, he's been a top star throughout the whole time. But then there's the part of me that's like, the only reason he, like, if you look at him compared to other people who he might overtake to make top 10, like, he's in an era where title reigns don't last that long, and it's very easy to win it and then lose it right away and then win it right back.
Whereas in Ric Flair's age,
that didn't happen.
In his prime, the champion was a champion for quite some time.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, there's even times when someone could be lose their title, win it, and then win it back the next day, the way the landscape goes. So, and again, Cena's, most of his title reigns were like not short, but they weren't exactly like Hulk Hogan's first reign.
I would say, how can you not put John Cena on your top 10 list? That's my argument to you guys. Think of it this way.
Well, all right, here's my thing. Here's what makes Ric Flair's list more impressive. Ric Flair did that over the course of multiple organizations.
Oh, I'm not denying that John Cena would be less impressive or more impressive than Ric Flair. I am saying there is no denying that if Cena does break the record and become a 17-time champion, he is not only more accomplished than Ric Flair, but he is undeniably on the top 10 of the greatest professional wrestlers who ever lived. And not because, oh, he could deliver 5-star matches with anybody like Randy Savage and Shawn Michaels and even Ric Flair himself. But I'm saying, like, as you have to look at the whole picture when you think about who a top 10 is. John Cena is the face of a generation. He was, after Hulk Hogan, who has made pro wrestling more mainstream after Hulk Hogan than John Cena has? He was the entire face of WWE for a decade.
I'll tell you who's made them more mainstream. Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock.
I'm really trying to fight this, but I can't fight it.
You can't. I'm giving both possible. Like, all right. So, and another thing you've got to realize too.
But back to what you just said though, Austin and The Rock, they were together part of an entire era and defined an era. After them, who took the reins of WWE?
Yeah,
who took the popularity? Who
Triple H?
Who made
and
it
then
mainstream?
Cena. Triple H and then Cena. But here's the thing though, like if you want to go with your top lists, look at look at John Cena's accomplishments, and all of them happened with the same company where one guy was pushing him as like the top guy. It's very easy to get that kind of consideration. So another like currently active, because I mean in WWE, like as far as organizations go, like he was Ohio Valley Wrestling, which was WWE's developmental, so I'm not counting that. And then like Ultimate Pro Wrestling, the only two other places been in aside from WWE. Look at an AJ Styles. All right. I'm going to read some accomplishments from him. 2-time IWGP World Heavyweight Champion. NWA World Heavyweight Champion. NWA World Tag Team Champion. TNA World Champion. TNA Tag Champion. X Division Champion. Bound for Glory winner. The first Grand Slam and Triple Crown champion in TNA's history. Ring of Honor pure championship holder. Ring of Honor Tag Team Championship and Pure Championship Tournament winner. PWG champion. Multiple NWA and NWA division champions. And now WWE champion.
No one can deny the list of accomplishments that Styles has had.
So if we're going based on titles won, does his resume sound more impressive, or does 16-time world champion in one company, 2-time tag champion, 5-time U.S. champion, and one of the few guys to win Money in the Bank and not win the title for it, which is more impressive to you?
I think I still have to pick Cena.
No, like, here's the thing, though. I would pick AJ of those two because he, like, AJ Styles got over enough to win in four, like, major or top independent promotions. I mean, he's one of the few foreigners to win the IWGP title. You've got to be one of the best in the game to win that. You've got to, someone they consider a huge draw. Like, it's very rare that someone who's not Japanese wins that title. I mean, AJ Styles is the first non-Japanese person to win that title since Brock Lesnar in 2005.
Very impressive.
And even then, like before Brock Lesnar, it was something like Scott Norton in 98, and that's it. Like, there's very few other people who are not Japanese, aside, and Vader in the 80s. And like that's pretty much it. Four guys. Two of them are retired. One's part time. So the fact that he won that twice, and has won all those other titles in different organizations, which means different fan bases, different people calling the shots, and the fact that he's a guy that Vince didn't value that much until after he debuted, and he worked his way to get the title reign that he has now. I think if you had to compare the two, I would put AJ Styles top 10 before John Cena if we're basing this on complete body of work in ring as far as championship accomplishments. And because John Cena, let's face it, he's not good enough to have been given 16 title reigns. He's better now than he ever was as far as match quality goes, but he's also been the biggest name in what a lot of people consider the worst recent tenure of WWE.
I still say there is no denying the impact that Cena had, and I think you may have justified my opinion a little more now, because I'm not going to deny that AJ Styles has had more accomplishments in other promotions. You can't deny that. You can't deny that Ric Flair had the same thing too. But Cena, for almost a decade, carried the entire company on his shoulder.
No, like, here's the thing, though. He drove a lot of fans away in his heyday.
Look at what Hulk Hogan did, and everyone credits Hogan for bringing pro wrestling to the mainstream.
No, here's the thing, though. In hindsight, the fans are not kind to Hogan now. Like, I think a lot of people now know the stories of Hogan being a diva backstage, and they resent him. The difference is Cena will get a little more credit from fans than Hogan did because he's not like that, but it's the same scenario, and Cena drove fans away for a while. Look at us, for example. Like, from the mid-2000s until the pipe bomb in 2011, because of them pushing John Cena like that, we switched to UFC.
And when in the early 90s, when Hogan was still being pushed, I was driven to WCW.
And then WCW signed Hogan.
And then I was like, oh, great. WCW's making the same mistake again. And then Hogan turned heel. And I was like, okay, I'm all in. This is great. This is the most fun I've ever had watching wrestling. And the Monday Night Wars.
And again, though, like, and here's the thing. AJ Styles has reinvented himself so many times, and not just like turning face or heel. And that's the other thing. Why I can't get behind putting John Cena in the top 10 over AJ Styles, because they're both at that point in their career where you should be talking about both of them as top 10. I can't put Cena over AJ because
I couldn't either.
AJ's reinvented himself. John Cena's pretty much the same character with window dressing changing.
I can't disagree with that. Yeah. I'd be an idiot if I did disagree with that. 17 championships, though. Regardless if they're in one promotion or not. Again, that still says something.
But again, though, I'm looking at the quality of the work here, not just the quantity of the quality of the work, and not just the quantity of the titles.
Fair enough.
Like, I'm overall quality of work. There's been a long stretch where AJ Styles is considered the best wrestler in the world, and he's got the titles to back it up.
I still say he probably is the best in the world right now.
Yeah, I would say so, but he's also got the titles to back it up, and there's organizations I didn't name when listing AJ's titles because I didn't want it to be long-winded.
All right. We have less than 5 minutes. Let's get our No Mercy predictions out of the way here. No Mercy is this Sunday, Mike. 7:00. The pre-show, 8:00 start time on the WWE Network. And our first match is, for reasons, Jack Swagger versus Baron Corbin is your kickoff match.
I'll make this one quick because no one cares. Baron Corbin gets the win back as Swagger beat him on SmackDown.
All right, that's easy enough. We have Nikki Bella versus Carmella.
I want Carmella
to win. Setting up a feud.
Yep. It's actually been a kind of well-developed feud because it mostly involves Carmella beating up Nikki Bella. But I'm afraid they're going to give Nikki the win on this one because of the way they're building the feud. I think Carmella deserves the win.
I agree.
I'm going to be rooting for Carmella to win, but it's not that I think Nikki Bella should win. I think that because I think they're going to have her win this match because Nikki Bella and because Vince McMahon.
I completely agree. I think Carmella deserves a win, but because, like you just said, Mike, way that they've been building this feud, Nikki Bella comes out your winner.
I'll be happy if Carmella wins. I'll be ecstatic if Carmella wins the match, but I don't see them pulling the trigger on it right now. I see, and if they do, then Nikki Bella wins the rematch, but I don't see them giving Carmella this feud because they're just going to... Which it would make, I mean, they should have Carmella win. I want her to win because it'll give her character more juice to play with.
The second women's match on this card is for the women's championship. Alexa Bliss, who is kind of growing on me right now, versus Becky Lynch.
Becky Lynch. They're not going to have her lose the title already.
After all that build up to try to crown the first SmackDown Women's Champion and how much Becky deserves it, no way Alexa Bliss comes out Women's Championship.
And I'll say, I just don't want to have someone win the title who looks like a toddler when they swing their head around.
All right. I can't believe I'm saying this. Heath Slater's in a title match. Again!
Yeah, Heath Slater
and Rhino versus the Bussos for the SmackDown Tag Team Championship.
I kind of want Heath Slater and Rhino to win this match. I just like
hashtag vote Rhino 2016.
Yep. But I think they're just going to give the Usos the match. They're going to, because what's going to happen is the Usos will be the transitional tag team champs for the eventual American Alpha win.
They're the Bussos.
Yeah, that's right, the Bussos. I keep forgetting to do that. I'm the one who coined that.
Yes, you coined it. I'm the only one that still uses it.
Yeah, the Bussos will win so that an American Alpha can beat the Bussos for the tag titles.
I wholeheartedly agree.
This
The most interesting.
Yes.
Aside from the main event, this is the most interesting match on the card.
There's so, and what I liked what they did this week on SmackDown where Miz did a recap of Dolph Ziggler's career to this point.
I did like and that. I love that segment.
I love how they brought out Kenny and Mike Mondo from the Spirit Squad to attack Dolph Ziggler.
That was good.
That was fantastic. But this is probably, aside from the main event, the match had the best build. And there's an unpredictable feel to this because, and just there's a lot of implications with the match because of the rumors of Dolph Ziggler leaving WWE.
Yeah, there's some pretty strong rumors going around that.
Yeah.
That this is it for Ziggler.
It really depends on what happens, I think. Because if Ziggler re-signs, they can't just have him, lose the match now. They've got to give him the... if he re-signs, they'll probably have him win and then lose it shortly after the Miz in the rematch. But part of me thinks Ziggler's gone. I just think he's tired of being treated the way he is. Where it's like, all right, we can trust you to put on a great match, but we can't trust you to win the big one.
And for that reason, I think Ziggler might lose. And usually, the odds of wrestlers who put their career on the line, it usually never goes well for them. So,
no, that's not true. I mean, most of the time, the wrestler wins the title. But in this case, we don't know what's happening with Ziggler. I think he's not staying, and that's why I'm picking the Miz on this one.
I'm picking the Miz, too. And also, I mean, he has been just on fire lately. He's one of the best heels that SmackDown has to offer. And quite frankly, one of the best heels WWE has to offer.
Before we get to the next match you're going to, also Curt Hawkins is making his SmackDown debut match at No Mercy, which means he'll win.
Randy Orton versus Bray Wyatt. My God, man.
The build for this feud has been chilling to the point where it's almost like watching a horror movie if you didn't know it was a wrestling promo.
It feels kind of cheesy at some point, but if we're to believe that Bray Wyatt's this dark, mysterious cult character that he's supposed to be, it's got to get a little dark and cheesy. Because I mean,
all right, you know what though? Like,
my favorite guy of all time is The Undertaker, and if I'm still gonna mark out to The Undertaker coming out and
then,
doing all
yeah,
this,
then
thing,
this should be,
and then this should be it for me.
The difference is Bray Wyatt is a more realistic character. He's almost more cult leader than undead zombie who's like an Undertaker.
Yes, have you ever driven through Alabama? That's
exactly.
But this is a must win for Bray Wyatt.
I think they need, if they want him to have any shred of credibility, he needs to beat Randy Orton, and I think he will.
He has to.
My favorite segment from the build was last week's SmackDown, where Randy Orton was basically backstage going through a Wyatt-esque maze.
Yes.
And then to turn the tables on Bray. It was great. Like, the best non-match build for the non-main event. And better than a lot of what Raw's doing.
And, Mike, here is your main event. WWE Championship Triple Threat Match. Champion AJ Styles versus John Cena versus Dean Ambrose.
This is a tough one to call. I don't think Ambrose is winning. And I think, if Cena wins, I think AJ wins it back. But I'm going to go with AJ wins.
I'm going to be bold here. I'm going to say Cena pins him after Ambrose, like, nearly, does dirty deeds on Styles. Cena knocks him out of the ring. AA, 1, 2, 3. Cena wins his 16th title.
No, I think AJ wins.
Well, that's a good thing about predictions. One of us will be right, the other one will be wrong.
Watch Ambrose wins and we're both wrong.
Watch Dean Ambrose win.
But no, I think AJ retains. You know why? They're going to wait. They're not going to do it at this pay-per-view for the Cena win. They might even do it at Survivor Series.
Well, I mean, I can't believe we went through this whole show without mentioning the big rumor going around for Survivor Series. They might bring back Bill Goldberg
for the match
to have a rematch from his WrestleMania 20 match with Brock Lesnar.
Well, let's just hope it's better than the WrestleMania 20 match, because that one sucked.
I mean, I can wrestle a mop and it'll be better than the WrestleMania 20
yeah,
match.
Yeah, no, it won't be. You know why? Because at least because neither you nor the mop will get the Stone Cold Stunner after the match.
Right. That was the biggest payoff. Or the fan in the audience dressing like Hulk Hogan doing poses. Anyhow,
yep.
That is our No Mercy prediction. I hope this is a stacked card. I'm very excited for it. I think it should be a great show. I will be watching. We will be live tweeting the show on BSR Wrestling, which you should go ahead and follow, guys. Follow the show, support the show, download the show in both audio and video form, and listen to the Brainstew Network shows. We have 8 shows on the network. Subscribe to all of them. They all have their own feeds. Just go, subscribe, follow Brainstew Radio on Twitter. And again, follow BSR Wrestling on Twitter as well. I am at Hams Gruber. He is at Hipster Punchy. We will see you next week as we recap No Mercy. And hopefully, we find out some clear decision on what's going on with TNA. We'll see you next week, guys. Have a wonderful weekend.
Have a nice day. You are on the beat no more.